This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We stink at recycling. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, the big jobs and wages report is due in a few hours. The employment picture has been quite rosy lately, with more than 200,000 jobs added to payrolls per month on average since mid-spring, and more people coming back into the labor market. Less impressive from the point of view of workers is wage growth. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman dug deeper.
Pay for some jobs, where demand for workers is high, is soaring. Bank teller up 8.2% year over year. Truck driver and bartender up more than 6%. That's according to job site Glassdoor. Chief economist Andrew Chamberlain says on the flip side, some jobs have flat or falling wages.
Communications managers, which is starting to attract many former journalists, and then also some roles like insurance agents, which are a job that's really changing because of automation and self-serve.
Kathy Barrera at ZipRecruiter has been researching which income brackets are benefiting most from the tight labor market.
Currently, the lowest 10% is growing faster than everyone else. That's really good news for people taking entry-level jobs, jobs that don't require a lot of credentialing or prior experience.
All that's being driven by recent minimum wage hikes and labor shortages in high tech, manufacturing, and even retail. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
A new report says it's the economies of Africa and Southeast Asia that'll be hit hardest by global warming over the next three decades. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now from Washington. What do we learn from this?
Well, the global risk firm Verisk Maplecroft released the report. They've looked at predictions for rising temperatures and how that would affect various regions. They found that workers in Africa and Asia would be most affected by the rising heat.
But climate change is indeed an economic story.
It is. And when it's hot, workers are less productive. We tend to move slower in the heat. The report says people who work in manufacturing, agriculture, mining, and the oil and gas sector will be most affected. Verisk Maplecroft calculated this drop in productivity adds up to annual losses of almost $10 billion a year in West Africa and around $78 billion per year in Southeast Asia. The report says exports of oil from Nigeria could fall, and cocoa exports from Ivory Coast and Ghana could also be affected.
And how are companies coping with these changes?
The report says there's been a significant uptick in the use of air conditioning for people who work inside. But that is going to keep pressure on electric grids that in some cases will not be able to keep up with the demand, causing power outages. The report also says around a quarter of people living in African cities don't have access to electricity at all.
Yeah, and I was looking at that report, all this as more people are moving to cities.
Right. It says the population of Africa's cities is expected to increase by 235% by the year 2050. The report says, as a result, the proportion of the global population living in areas it classifies as under extreme risk from the heat will be five times higher by the middle of this century.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. Thank you. Let me do the live market screens here. What do we see? The FTSE in London is up 0.7%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up just slightly. The U.S. dollar stronger at 115.8 to the euro and 6.86 to the Chinese yuan.
Hi, I'm Zach, and I listen to Marketplace in Arlington, Virginia. I think what I appreciate the most about Marketplace is their ability to take the economic news of the day, issues such as tariffs, rate hikes, and tax reform, cut through the political noise, and clearly and concisely explain not only how these issues affect our country and the rest of the world, but how they impact people like me. I hope you'll consider joining me as a Marketplace investor and donate today at marketplace.org to help make their work possible.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world,
how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Recyclers along the West Coast are in crisis mode. That's because China is no longer willing to buy nearly as much of the recycled goods that they once did. They say the shipments are too jumbled up with non-recyclable materials. U.S. municipalities and recycling companies are trying to figure out what to do with their growing heaps. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports on one of the many things they'll have to sort out, us.
Within minutes of meeting Heather Repenning, she says she thinks I'll be a
wastehead.
That's apparently not an insult to Repenning. She sets waste and recycling policy for the city of Los Angeles, and she calls herself a wastehead.
It's someone who is completely immersed in discussions, operations, and policy around the waste sector. Welcome to the world of being a wastehead.
One thing that keeps wasteheads up at night is the lousy job of recycling that non-wasteheads are doing.
They're hopeful that things will be recycled, and so they put everything in there. That's not what we want them to do. We want them to know what is actually recyclable.
About a third of what well-meaning Californians put in the blue bin shouldn't be. It's a problem because removing all that stuff takes time and money. That can make recycling uneconomical. So municipalities are stepping up their public education, more social media campaigns, more informational inserts in water and power bills.
The best way to educate people would be to have them come and visit one of our MRFs.
By MRF, she means a materials recovery facility. I went to one. It's a massive warehouse where bulldozers mound up mansion-sized piles of waste. Flattened cardboard boxes flop off conveyor belts. A lot of this stuff ends up in towering bales, ready to be sold. But a lot more of it is going to landfills because it's too contaminated.
It's probably 15 to 20% more than we would have otherwise.
Bob Asgian is with LA County's Sanitation District. He takes me up to where dozens of workers snatch out contaminants from a high-speed sorting line.
I see a diaper.
Idiocy. But then we see
envelopes with plastic laminated on them.
Wait, I've tried recycling those.
Plastic casing for fruit.
Oh, done that too.
A beer bottle case.
Oh my God. Hold on. Beer boxes are contaminants?
Next week, who knows? But this week it is.
That's because recyclers can't just pass chipboard beer boxes and other mixed paper along to China anymore. What was once in demand is now a glut. Mark Oldfield is with California's recycling agency.
If there's no viable market for it, is that something we want to continue to call recyclable?
And that underlines the need for more public education, because we could all be better wasteheads. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
And this note, that rarest of birds, rarer still than the Philippines flower pecker. Profit sharing at the Royal Bank of Scotland for the first time since its government bailout during the great financial crisis. There's news that RBS will pay its first dividend to shareholders. After a deal with the U.S. Justice Department, RBS will pay, ready for the line, tuppence a share, two pennies. Our executive producer, Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Our engineer, Brian Allison. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.